Theater presents Audrey Totter and Claude Akins. From Hollywood, the Mutual Network, in cooperation with Family Theater, presents Captive Audience, starring Audrey Totter. And now, here is your host, Claude Akins.
Thank you, Tony Lofano. Family Theater's only purpose is to bring to everyone's attention a practice that must become an important part of our lives if we're to win peace for ourselves, peace for our families, and peace for the world. Family Theater urges you to pray. Pray together as a family.
And now to our transcribed drama, Captive Audience, starring Audrey Totter as Irene.
My gracious Miss Irene, one day I looked out my window and there was one of my hounds chasing a rabbit. And they were both walking. and the potato crop. I want to tell you about that. Some of them were as big as peas, some as big as marbles, and then there was an awful lot of little ones, too. On account of all of the heat. You know the way sickness can follow a drought? Well, we was trying to beat it. I bought one of them sanitary drinking cups, and I made everybody on the plantation use it. But you know we all got sick anyway? Yes, sir. But you know there ain't nothing so bad you can't get a little good out of it. At least all during the drought, we didn't have a bit of trouble getting salt out of the shakers.
Oh, that's right. Come on now, Colonel. You can do better than that.
Oh, I don't know. That was pretty good.
Well, now you'll have to admit, Miss Irene, I was doing better earlier in the evening.
Didn't have a bit of trouble getting salt out of the shakers. Now, really.
Well, now, Miss Irene, some of these stories I haven't even thought about since... Well, I'd hate to tell you how many years. Not since I was just a tad riding my pony around the old plantation. Then, too, Miss Irene, the presence of such a beautiful woman as yourself tends to make a man forget a number of things.
Oh, now, Colonel.
Isn't that so, Mr. Sergeant?
True. Very true.
But perhaps I'll be in better form tomorrow.
Oh, you're leaving us, Colonel?
Well, it's just the shank of the evening.
Only for young people such as yourselves. But perhaps I might look forward to enjoying more of your charming company tomorrow.
Well, I certainly hope so.
It's been a delightful evening, Colonel.
Miss Irene. Mr. Sergeant.
Good night.
Good night, Colonel.
I wish you all a pleasant evening.
Thank you. Good night.
Quite a character.
Did you just meet him tonight?
That's right. Right here in the lounge car a little before you came in. Incidentally, I never did catch your first name.
John. John Sergeant.
Oh, mine's Irene Leeds.
Yes, I know.
You do?
I saw your picture on a playbill.
Oh.
June, I think it was, in that little theater on 43rd Street, just off Broadway. The play was...
The Last Day of Summer.
That's right. You wrote and directed the play. It was good.
Yes, it was quite good, wasn't it?
So, you're going to Hollywood now.
Yes. Oh, don't you get the wrong idea. I'm not giving up the theater for films or anything like that.
Well, I happen to think some films are pretty good theater.
Oh, really now, Mr. Sergeant? Films are... Well, really, I haven't been able to sit through one in years. Of course, some they've been doing for television are adequate, but do you think motion pictures can ever compare with an adult medium?
Pardon me, but if you feel that way, why...
Why go to Hollywood?
Yeah, why should you?
Well, Mr. Sergeant, I like to feel that it's sort of, well, sort of a contribution to the growth of television. They really have come close to doing some clever theater on television recently, you know.
Oh, I concede that, but what do you mean, contribution to the growth?
I'm going to be directing and producing a big series, a TC stuff.
TC?
Transcontinental.
Oh, yes. Go on.
I say contribute because I know how to do it right. That's all. A good, solid Broadway background, and then I'll be importing my actors from New York. If you want to do a really good dramatic show, you know, you have to use New York actors.
Oh, yes. I remember reading something along those lines. In fact, if I remember correctly, your name was on the article.
You certainly are well informed, Mr. Sargent.
Well, in my business, it's necessary.
Oh, what is your business?
You were one of the people this producer sent for to contribute to the growth of TV.
It's all pretty much the way I wrote it.
The way you wrote it?
Well, I didn't actually write it. I dragged in some little $150 a week writer to ghost it for me. Strictly to save time, you understand.
Let's not knock $150 a week. Now, if I remember correctly, you wrote that you decided on the idea of bringing actors from New York to Hollywood because, and I think I remember your exact wording, because the Hollywood people can't really sustain real drama, that they can't really fool people because the movie industry is an artificial medium.
Mr. Sargent, you have a wonderful memory. I've never seen anything like it.
That's what you wrote?
Word for word.
I don't know, Miss Leeds. It seems to me like a man in a forest sending out for trees.
Sending away for actors?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I suppose it might seem that way to an outsider at any rate. By the way, what is your line, Mr. Sargent?
Oh, it's farm machinery, sales, you know.
Oh.
But let's talk about something else. You made a remark about the Colonel.
Oh, yes, isn't he a character?
You said you met him for the first time tonight?
That's right.
You didn't see him before you boarded the train?
Well, I don't believe... Why do you ask?
Oh, no reason. I just curious, I suppose.
Curious? You ask a lot of questions for a man who's just curious.
Well, we all have different ways of passing the time on a long trip. I just try to figure my fellow passengers. Just wondering about your impressions of the man.
Well, I suppose I just took him at face value for what he's worth to me personally.
And that?
A few laughs.
Look, didn't it strike you as... Oh, well, never mind. I really shouldn't bring it up.
Bring what up? You haven't brought anything up, and frankly, I wish you would. I wish you'd finish what you were going to say.
Well, don't you think he... Well, to use your own terminology, was overplaying it a little?
Overplaying it?
Oh, my gracious Miss Irene, I haven't heard that story since I was a mere tad, riding my pony around the old plantation.
Oh, he might have been a little bit. Old people sometimes dress things up. I mean, his pony probably had long ears and pulled a plow in his off hours, but I don't think any real
There
harm.
Wasn't any pony at all, or any plantation.
How could you possibly know that?
That's not important.
I mean it. How could you?
Let's leave it there, shall we?
Leave it there?
I shouldn't have brought it up at all, but I thought... Well, I thought you could see through him. You're in the theater. I thought you'd know a bad performance when you saw it.
So?
So he's putting on an act for some reason. You can be sure of that. He's got a reason.
You know more about this than you're saying, don't you?
I'm not at liberty to...
Not at liberty to say, but you're trying to warn me about him, aren't you? Why?
You're a nice girl, that's all. And you said something earlier.
What?
You only think he's good for laughs. That means your guard is down. Well, all I can say is, be careful.
Careful? Careful of what?
Have you been reading the papers?
I haven't had the time. Say, you actually look worried. You're no traveling salesman for any farm equipment company, are you?
Well, just between us, I'm not...
You're with the police.
Not so loud. Easy, easy.
I'm sorry. What has he done?
Now, Miss Leeds, you can be certain that if the New York Police Department had enough evidence to be really sure what he'd done, he wouldn't have been allowed to board a departing train.
The New York Police?
That's what I said. And, Miss Leeds...
Yes?
You will keep this between us.
Of course, I wouldn't breathe a word of it, not a word. What has he done?
I wouldn't even have brought it up, except... Well... Seeing him lull you into thinking of him as an old friend, trying to make you forget that he's just a stranger you met on a train. Well, it made me think I should say something.
And believe me, I'm grateful. But what has the man done?
Miss Leeds, supposing you were a chief of detectives.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to put this hypothetically. Supposing you were a chief of detectives,
yes.
And there was a criminal at large,
mm-hmm.
whom you could pick up on a bunco charge any time you wanted.
Yes, yes, go on.
But you knew that by just following the man and letting him roam free, you could get him for a string of much worse crimes. What would you do?
Why, I suppose I'd let him roam a little, give him more rope.
That's aptly put. Give him more rope.
Is that what you're doing?
Miss Leeds.
Yes?
I'm trying to protect you. Now, if a certain man on this train tries to sell you some oil well stock, don't turn him down. You don't have to buy it, but don't turn him down. You know what I mean?
String him along.
Don't let him get you alone. And above all, don't let him get suspicious.
You mentioned a string of worse crimes. What might those worse crimes be?
What do you think?
Oh, now you don't really mean the Colonel. I mean you...
Would I be on this train if I didn't think so?
Murder? This is simply too ridiculous, Mr. Sergeant. I cannot believe anything so terrible about the Colonel.
All right, don't believe it. Forget I said anything at all. But remember this. You were warned. Now you go right on thinking of him as good for a few laughs, as a clown. And I hope, Miss Leeds, you never look around and suddenly find your clown with a knife in his hand. Good night, Miss Leeds, and pleasant dreams.
Sorry. If this isn't a grand surprise.
Oh, Colonel.
May I wish you the very best of the morning?
Thank you. Won't you join me for breakfast?
Charmed, I'm sure. Yeah. I trust you had a pleasant night?
I'm afraid I'm the type who never sleeps well on trains.
Oh, that's a shame, a shame. Yeah, I wonder if you'd pass me the menu, please?
Certainly.
I must confess, Miss Irene, I find it a relief not having to share your charming company with that what's-his-name, that Mr. Sergeant. I didn't like that man.
Didn't like him?
I mean, what I saw of him, not at all.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen Mr. Sergeant this morning.
Good riddance.
Pardon me?
There doesn't seem to be much choice of food on this menu, does there?
Well, I'm having the bacon and eggs myself.
Waiter? Oh, waiter!
Yes, sir. Something I can do for you, sir?
Yes, I wonder if you could serve me up some black-eyed peas with cream gravy on them and a little corn pone.
I'm sorry, sir, but we don't have it.
Don't have it? Right. Greens and sow belly with cornbread and pot liquor.
I'd sure like to help you, sir, but we just don't have any of those things.
All right, then. You can just bring me a stack of hush puppies and some blackstrap.
I'm sorry, sir, but if it isn't on the menu, we just don't have it.
Well, why don't you have it?
I don't know, sir. We just don't have it.
You got any steak?
Oh, yes, sir.
You got any eggs?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, I'd bring me steak and eggs.
Yes, sir. How do you want your steak?
Blood rare.
Yes, sir. Sorry we couldn't accommodate you on those other things.
All right, not your fault, son. Didn't mean to get my dander up that way. Remember, that steak is blood rare.
Oh, yes, sir. And I've filled in your order. Now, if you'll just sign the check.
Where?
Right here. Here's a pencil, sir.
Right, and there you are.
Thank you, sir. I'll have that order in just a moment.
Colonel.
You know, Miss Irene, I feel I owe you an apology for conduct which, to say the least, was unseemly of me. But if there's one thing I just cannot abide, it's being turned down.
I see.
You were about to say something?
It's not really important, I suppose, but didn't you introduce yourself last evening as Colonel Phineas T. Culpepper?
Well, I must say I'm flattered that such a beautiful woman as yourself should remember my name so well. I believe that is how I introduced myself. Why do you ask?
When you signed the check, you signed it James T. Morgan.
Yeah. Oh, did I?
No, of course, I might have been mistaken.
Well, as a matter of fact, my dear, you are to be commended for being so observing. You see, come here closer. I do sometimes travel under an assumed name.
An assumed name?
Yes. You see, in some parts of this vast country, the name of Phineas T. Culpepper attracts too much attention.
I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
All, Miss Irene, ma'am. All. See, I made a practice in the past few years of allowing some of my close friends to invest in my oil holdings.
Oil well stocks?
Naturally, I must be selective even among my closest and dearest friends and offered only to those whom I feel great wealth will not spoil. Naturally, I make nothing, or at most take token payment for the transactions. It's just my way of, well, Miss Irene, I suppose you could call it my way of sharing what I have with my friends.
I see.
Naturally, when people see my name, they immediately try to inveigle their way into my friendship. That's why I use an assumed name. I have no use for sunshine friends. Oh, gracious, I seem to have left my pills. I wonder if you excuse me a moment. I say, Miss Irene.
Excuse you? Oh, yes. Yes, of course, of course.
Thank you. Now, don't you go away.
Oh, no, no. No, I'll be here. No, it can't be happening. The whole thing's too...
Pardon me, ma'am?
Oh, well, waiter, you startled me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you spoke to me. I was bringing your order. Orange juice and coffee?
Oh, yes. Waiter.
Yes, ma'am?
The gentleman I'm with.
Yes?
Do you notice anything, well, strange about him?
Oh, he... I mean, no offense, but... Well, he was awfully short-tempered.
I mean anything else.
Well, yes, ma'am. Now that you mention it, a couple of things. Ma'am, I don't think he's what he seems to be. I never heard of anybody wanting to insult good black-eyed peas with cream gravy. And I never heard of greens and sow belly for breakfast. And when he asked for a stack of hush puppies...
Puppies? Oh, yes, I remember. Little innocent puppies.
Oh, no, ma'am, not that kind of puppies. These were made out of cornmeal.
Oh.
And when he asked for a stack of them with blackstrap, oh, I almost had to leave the room.
He's not what he seemed.
And the other thing, ma'am...
There's more?
Well, we asked the patrons to sign the checks so that we can call them by name the next time we see them.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am, I just don't know what to call your friend. He's been in here three times and signed three different names.
Three?
And each one in a different handwriting.
Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I listen?
Pardon me, ma'am?
Nothing, nothing. Look, would you do me a favor?
Oh, yes, if I can, ma'am.
Well, when he comes back, would you tell him I had to leave, that I'm not feeling well? Would you do that?
Oh, yes, ma'am. As a matter of fact, you do look a little pale.
I truly believe if your waiter had turned him down one more time, the colonel would have killed him.
Look, madam, did he kill the waiter?
No, but I...
Then there's really nothing I can do. Now, if you'll excuse me...
But I tell you, conductor, he's a dangerous man. He's suspected of all sorts of terrible murders.
By whom?
Well, by the police. Who else?
Then may I suggest, madam, that you take it up with them. You said you'd been warned by a policeman?
In the lounge car last night. A Mr. Sergeant. But I can't find him. I told you that. That's why I've come to you. Mr. Sergeant may have been... Well, if the colonel has found out, who knows what might have happened.
Well, I don't know what you expect me to do.
Well, can't you turn the colonel over to the police at the next town?
Thought you said this man was wanted in New York.
Well, he is.
Is he wanted in Nevada?
How should I know?
Sorry, madam. There's nothing I can do.
You're being very foolish about this. Can't you understand my life's in danger? At this very moment, Mr. Sergeant may be lying 100 miles back, gasping for his...
Madam... I've been on this road for 35 years. There's never been a murder on this road in my memory. If a Mr. Sergeant got on this train in good condition, I assure you he'll get off in good condition. And the same goes for you.
You're being very stupid about all this.
Madam, you read too many dime novels. Now I have work to do in the next car.
The least you can do is investigate.
Lady, I think you're out of your mind. Oh, excuse me, sir. Didn't see you.
No harm done, sir. No harm done.
Oh, no.
Oh, Miss Irene. Miss Irene, if you'll just tarry a moment.
Oh, Colonel, I've just been wondering where you were.
As a matter of fact, Miss Irene, I spent considerable of my time just looking for you.
Looking for me?
Yes. I seem to remember an observation platform right at the end of this car. I heard you weren't feeling well this morning. Perhaps, breath of air?
Oh, no, I'm feeling fine now. Really, I am.
Well, we'll be able to enjoy the air a little better then.
You know something, Miss Irene?
No, Colonel.
I've formed quite an attachment for a charming young lady on this very train.
Oh?
A paternal attachment, that is. I don't suppose you could imagine who I mean.
But I really couldn't guess.
For you, Miss Irene. For you. Why, I almost feel as though I'd known you since you were just a sweet little thing in gingham and pigtails. Here, let me get the door for you.
I don't know whether I want any air just now. I really think I have a slight cold coming on, Colonel.
Fresh air's the best thing in the world for a cold.
I don't suppose you've seen Mr. Sergeant, Colonel.
I'm proud to say I haven't, Miss Irene. Yes. Getting back to the subject, I find myself thinking of you, my dear, as a very, very dear friend, Miss Irene. A beloved friend.
That's nice, Colonel. Well, I think I've had enough fresh air. Should we go in?
And thinking of you as a friend, Miss Irene, makes me want to do something for you.
Oh, no, Colonel. I couldn't let you do that.
No, Miss Irene, I've made up my mind. You look like the type of person who wouldn't be spoiled by wealth.
Oh, but I am. I really am. Why, a couple of years ago, I inherited $2,000 from my grandmother, and it almost ruined me. Really, it did.
Oh, but I can see you've done a lot of maturing since then. I've made up my mind, Miss Irene. I'm going to make you a wealthy woman. I'm going to give you some of my oil stock.
Oh?
At a token cost, just a penny a share, just to make it a legal transfer, you understand?
Oh, only a penny a share.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to give you 200,000 shares.
200? Why, that's $2,000. Well, I couldn't do it.
You aren't turning me down, are you, Miss Irene?
Turning you down, heavens, no, certainly not. I wouldn't think of such a thing. I think it's a wonderful offer, just wonderful.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. You can give me the money now, and I'll set the deal up right away.
Well, Colonel, I just don't seem to have that kind of money, you know, traveling and...
How much have you got?
Most, a couple of hundred.
Well, as a gesture of friendship, I'm willing to cut the price a little. Give me the money.
But you haven't even got the stock ready.
Miss Irene, my word is my bond. I swear in the face of my generosity, you seem suspicious to me.
Suspicious? Oh, now, see here, Colonel, you needn't think.
Miss Irene, This here train must be going 80 miles an hour. I don't like having people flaunt their ingratitude in my face.
No?
I might just lose my temper with you.
Don't strike me.
That's enough, Colonel. Don't make a move. I've got you covered with my .45 Colt automatic.
Oh, Mr. Sergeant.
Covered with a Colt .45 automatic pistol. I'm not moving. Don't shoot. Don't shoot.
Oh, I thought you were dead. You've saved my life.
He tried, Miss Leeds. He tried, but not quite hard enough. Your troubles are over now. Come on, Colonel. I arrest you on 268 counts of murder.
268?
I didn't mean to do it.
Let's go, Colonel. Let's go.
Fat lot of help you were. I was nearly murdered on your train.
Are you on that one again, lady?
I'll never, as long as I live, ride on your train.
On behalf of myself and the railroad, lady, I want to thank you for that small blessing. Ooh.
Which way to the street?
Right down the ramp.
Thank you.
Forget it, lady. I've never in all my years.
Miss Leeds! Oh, Miss Leeds!
Oh, Mr. Sergeant.
Oh, I was afraid we'd miss you.
And you. You despicable man.
Miss Irene, you all.
Mr. Sergeant, should you have handcuffs or something on him?
Handcuffs? I don't need handcuffs for him.
But 268 counts of murder.
Maybe I'd better show you my credentials. And, Jimmy, maybe you better do the same.
Sure thing.
Credentials?
Maybe you better take a look at this card.
Card? S-A-G. Well, S-A-G? Well, you're paid up. Members in the Screen Actors Guild.
That's right, ma'am. Mine says the same thing.
Then you're not a killer.
Me? Well, as far as I know, ma'am, I've never even made anybody sick.
We kind of took exception to your theory about importing actors.
Yeah. Quote, Hollywood people can't really sustain a performance because ours is an artificial medium.
That conductor must have thought I was completely mad. You went to all this trouble.
Oh, no trouble.
No, we were both coming back from a location in New England. When we heard you were on the train, we just couldn't resist the temptation to teach you a lesson.
What a terrible thing to do. Despicable, utterly despicable.
No hard feelings, I hope.
In fact, I was kind of hoping you'd let me take you to lunch.
Yeah, that's right, ma'am. I thought maybe I might go along as a chaperone or something.
Jimmy, don't you have to go on an interview or something?
Me? No. I'm free as a bird.
Oh, well, I'll fix that. From now on, I'm going to see that you're both too busy to get into that kind of mischief.
You are.
How could I keep from hiring you after that audition? It was very, very good.
Now, John, that's what I call a mighty good sport.
She sure is.
Now, did somebody say something about lunch?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I know the nicest little place where a body can get the bestest southern fried sow belly and greens and hush puppies and black-eyed peas and you all. Wait a minute. I think John and I better stop and call our agents.
Call your agents?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but why?
Why? What she said a minute ago. She said very, very good.
And I meant it, too.
That's what I mean. That's why we ought to call our agents, boy. If we're that good, don't you think we ought to be getting more money?
This is Claude Akins again. Every one of us has several friends, acquaintances, or relatives of whom we can say they bring out the very best of nearly everyone whom they meet. In other words, some people draw us up, make us feel finer, more human, more kindly, more inclined to merciful and understanding interpretations. It's a treat to come into their presence and to be associated with them. They're just extremely honest natures. And something genuine in them brings out, by association and contact, something genuine and therefore fine in us. I thought I'd mention this observation, not because it's an original remark of my own, but because it has a relationship to family prayer. The little prayer of one kind or another that a family group says together at mealtimes or in the evening or when some crisis necessarily calls for our praying together. When we actually pray to God, we're always revealing to ourselves and the others of our family all that is best in us. This revelation is a byproduct of prayer, but it's important because it's contagious. It affects a confidence in each other. It restores to the family what may have been lost by the friction of living close to each other. And so as we're drawn up to God by prayer, we're drawn together by prayer also. The vertical threads in our life fabric lock together the horizontal threads. And family life profits by this closely woven texture. No wonder, then, is it, that the family that prays together stays together.
More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of.
Hollywood Family Theater has brought you transcribed Captive Audience, starring Audrey Totter. Claude Akins was your host. Others in our cast were Paul Frees, Howard Culver, and Mel Mana. The script was written and directed for Family Theater by Robert Hugh O'Sullivan, with music composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. This series of Family Theater broadcasts is made possible by the thousands of you who feel the need for this type of program, by the Mutual Network, which has responded to this need, and by the hundreds of stars of stage, screen, and radio who give so unselfishly of their time and talent to appear on our Family Theater stage. To them and to you, our humble thanks. This is Tony Lofrano expressing the wish of Family Theater that the blessing of God may be upon you and your home, and inviting you to be with us next week when Family Theater will present Ladies Man, starring Lyle Betker. Kathleen Crowley will be your hostess. Join us, won't you? Family Theater is broadcast throughout the world and originates in the Hollywood studios of the world's largest network. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.